Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Well, today, because we got so involved in the conversation yesterday in regard to chronic back pain, Shelley and I decided that it would probably be a good idea if we continued this conversation. Ironically, this morning on Facebook, I always get on the radio and I link into Facebook and announce my show and all that good stuff. And actually, my sister posted this, it's from www.naidw.org. It's the National Association of Injured and Disabled Workers. And I really appreciate what it says. And it ties in with chronic back pain. It's hard to explain to someone who has no clue. It's a daily struggle being in pain or feeling sick on the inside while you look fine on the outside. Please share this message on your Facebook wall if you or someone you know has an invisible illness, Crohn's, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, fibromyalgia, bipolar, lupus, MS, ME, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, epilepsy, muscular dystrophy, autism, etc. Never judge what you don't understand. I feel very strongly about this because it's so true. You never, ever, ever, ever know what it's like in someone else's shoes. And judging the things that they say or their trauma or their drama is very unfair of all of us. And we all are guilty of it, every one of us. Even those of us who try to not judge. You know, you're going to help a family move, and you show up, and your back hurts, but you're there because you love them, they're your friends, they've helped you before, you've been there for each other for a long time, and one of the older members of the group says, I can't lift anything, my back is killing me, and your back hurts too. And you go ahead and you move all the furniture and you help all day while somebody else complains about their sore back. And you get judgmental. You almost can't help it. If you see somebody who's acting erratically and you're like, what the hell is wrong with her or him? The point is you don't know. The point is that you have no idea what's going on in somebody else's head, in their body, in their life, period. Consequently, a lot of these challenges that so many of us are afflicted with often stay buried, often stay unresolved, often are neglected because they get the fact that nobody believes them. And I know some people that actually convince themselves that they probably shouldn't pursue getting help with what's wrong because nobody else seems afflicted with that. Maybe it is in my head. We do strange things to each other, very, very strange things. So I was glad that we decided to address the back pain again because I want to say to you, three-quarters, maybe more, of the world endures chronic pain of some kind or another. And the only time it will ever be addressed is if it's recognized. And if it's, if you realize it's something that you can possibly do something about, we ignore so many things until they get so bad that we have no choice. So I'm going to bring Shell in. I'm looking forward to really, really discussing this again, because I think it's imperative that we understand that back pain very often can be dealt with, and can be dealt with in modern and moderate techniques. It doesn't always mean that you have to do something that's really radical. So, Shell, are you there? Good morning.
Yes. Morning, Renee.
How are you?
Doing very good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I thought it was timely when I read what Patty wrote on, or what she posted on Facebook this morning, and I thought to myself, it is something that really needs to be discussed a little bit further. And I think that addressing something like back pain that doesn't go away when you rest a little bit, or if you take a couple ibuprofen or something like that and it doesn't go away, maybe the problem is deeper. And it doesn't always mean, and I hope you are going to be able to address this a little bit more than we did yesterday, and I will do my best to assist you, but I think not always is back pain originating from your back.
Exactly, exactly.
You know,
and that is part of what I've discovered in a little bit of my research. So, yes, mm-hmm. I am going to be going there a little bit.
Good, because I think we touched on yesterday somebody who has irritable bowel syndrome, chronic constipation, things like that. We know that those people often suffer from back pain. And we also know from the Institute that there are not only remedies for inability to go to the bathroom on a regular basis, but there's also like step stools to, have under your toilet so that your legs are lifted. There's a lot of different things, because actually the pressure from having not being able to go to the bathroom can cause severe, not just moderately uncomfortable back pain, but severe back pain. So there's a lot of stuff. And, of course, we touched on sciatica yesterday. And I think that is everybody I talk to. I mean, if I hear one time a day, I hear it 20 times a day. Oh, yes, I have sciatica. And that's the pressure on nerves in your back that radiates all the way down your legs. And as you get older, that doesn't get better by itself. It usually, the age, your lack of activity, things like that exacerbates that kind of pain. So what did you learn on your research last night? I see my sister is on. Patty, if you want to talk, don't hesitate to click in and I'll bring you in. She suffers with a lot of these things, and she has just in the past 2 years lost a tremendous, and I mean she's lost a whole other person of weight. Mm-hmm. And it's helped her mobility, but the damage, of course, was done previously from jobs, accidents, lifestyle, all of those things. And then she became immobile. And the weight piled on her like, somebody was remolding her into somebody else. So she's now lost all that weight, as I said, well over 100 pounds. And she's more comfortable, but she still struggles because a lot of the damage was already done. So what else did you find out that we can share with everybody, honey?
Well, a lot of things we were discussing yesterday. I just want to quickly repeat that, because I think they're very necessary. It's important to stretch. One of the things, in fact, they even talk about that on some of the sites. Stretching the body is essential, especially when you have back pain. But you want to do slow, deliberate movements. I mean, you're not going to be thrusting yourself down to the floor and trying to touch your toes. But stretching is very, very important, whether you're lying down in bed and stretching or whether you're standing and trying to slowly touch your toes and then bending from side to side. that stretching is essential, because that's one of the things that we can actually cause injury to ourselves, is when we don't allow our muscles, tendons, and ligaments to get warmed up before we actually start moving. So that can help the situation. Water therapy is phenomenal because it basically supports the weight of the body while allowing muscles to get warm and things like that and loosen up. So water therapy is phenomenal. If you've injured yourself, if you have something that just happened and you're in pain, you have to use cold therapy for at least 48 hours before you apply any heat to it. Everybody always thinks they need to relax their muscles when they've injured themselves, but just like anything else, like you said yesterday, if you bopped yourself in the head, you wouldn't put a hot compress on it, you'd put ice on it. It's the same thing on an internal injury. So whether it's your back or an ankle or you sprain your hand or whatever, whenever you cause some sort of a sprain or strain to the body, you have to expose it to only cold for about 48 hours. So these are some important things to remember. All right. And also, when you have any kind of pain or inflammation anywhere in the body, a lot of what we're talking about with the back today, by the way, would go for generalized pain anywhere in the body. Start lightening up what you're eating dietarily. Back off a little bit on dairy products. Dairy products cause a lot of inflammation in the body and can actually increase arthritis pain, back pain, and things like that. So if you are having joint and back pain, start reducing your intake of dairy products, cheeses, and I'm talking about things made from cow's milk. You can use other alternatives such as organic goat's milk. You can go to like almond milk or try to stay away from the soy products, but you can go to almond milk or coconut milk and things like that, much healthier option, and still get your cheeses and ice creams, but just made with those milks instead of cow's milk. So those are some things. Oh, and drink a lot of water. You could even try to drink some lemon water. You know, just put some lemon and stevia in a glass of water, and it will help start flushing some of the edema out of the body. One other thing that I know myself, I was crippled for about 5 years where I couldn't walk without a cane because I had blown my left knee out as a result of the Lyme's disease I had. It really injured my left knee, and I ended up getting water on the knee. You were talking about this yesterday. And
yeah.
One of the ways of effectively, they wanted to tap my knee because it was huge. I mean, I couldn't bend my left leg for over 6 months. That's how swollen it was. I couldn't even get in a car for 6 months. This was probably one of the worst of all my injuries because I couldn't bend my left leg to get into a car and drive it. I could be a passenger because I could scoot myself sideways, but I couldn't sit and drive a car because I couldn't fold my left leg to pull it inside the driver compartment.
Yep, been
and
there.
So they
yep.
wanted to tap the knee. I mean, it was absolutely huge. And this is before you met me. You never saw how big my leg got. And they wanted to tap it, but there were some risks with tapping the knee because they had to put this huge long needle in there, and so I wouldn't have it done. And I started reading up, and what I did was witch hazel packs. If you know somebody that suffers from edema, you know, they get the big ankles, big swollen ankles, or they have water on the knee or water on the elbow, the two things that you can do to assist the body in ridding the edema in those areas is drinking lemon water. It's a natural diuretic, and then taking witch hazel packs and putting it on the area. It has to be cool. Well, witch hazel straight out of the bottle would be cool anyway. You soak a towel in it, wrap it around the afflicted area, put a plastic bag over it to hold the moisture in, and do that 20 minutes, 3 to 4 times a day. And that's how I got my knee. It took about 2 weeks, and my knee returned to normal size. All the fluid came out, and then it stayed like that permanently. But you have to understand, for 6 months, my leg was huge. And within 2 weeks of doing the witch hazel pack, I had pulled all the edema out naturally without having to have a needle put in my knee. So these are some things of dealing with different pain management in a holistic way. Now, I did find a couple of sites dealing with pain management, drug-free pain management. And this was something you and I were talking about yesterday. This one place, the first place I found was in Wisconsin, so I was like, well, it's got to be a place in South Florida. I mean, I know I see these commercials on TV. There is a place in West Palm Beach. It's called Chronic Pain Solutions, and it says Chronic Pain Management, And then it has all these tabs across. I have the website here. I can send you a link to it later because I was very pleased with it. And it says drug-free pain management. So you go to this page, and it says that since 2003, the number of prescriptions for opiate medications has more than doubled. Originally, opiates were developed as a way to treat acute pain. Opiates were intended for short-term use only. And this is the problem, by the way. One of the characteristics of opiate medication is that long-term use decreases the effectiveness. As a result, there is a need to constantly increase the dose to higher and higher amounts to get the same effect. Opiate-free pain treatment is much more effective long-term. Chronic Pain Solutions in West Palm Beach offers real freedom from pain and improved quality of life. And what they go on to talk about is that I've heard this before because I had a friend of mine who had gotten addicted to Percocet and Percodan. What happens over time with opiates and these very, very powerful painkillers is that they actually reduce a person's pain tolerance and sensitivity. So if the pain you're feeling today was at a 10 and you start taking the opiates and now you're feeling nothing, over time, that pain that it was a 10 is now off the charts with the same drug, and you have to keep increasing it, increasing it. Their sensitivity to pain actually becomes more sensitive, so the same pain now feels more painful to them. And when they don't
well,
have any...
Well, let me interject something there. The other thing that goes along with that is prolonged use of those particular kind of pain relievers also increases some nerve damage. So it's not just mind over matter. You actually can make yourself or put yourself in a much worse place. I also want to let you know that I brought Patty in. Patty, you are live now. Did you have a question that you wanted to ask, or did you want to say something?
I just wanted to validate some of the things you're saying. Now, I've been on opiates for 10 years, Shelley. I take myself off of them monthly. I go off them for 2 days, so they work. I cut them in half and take only halves a lot of times.
Right,
so
right.
I have that under control. The sciatic. I've been having nausea, and the doctor gave me nausea pills. It constipated me. I didn't go for 8 days.
Wow.
Since I got the cord stimulator, I do not have the sciatic, but because of that, it's back, and I've been irritated ever since, and it's been 2 weeks I've been in a lot of pain from it. And I'm going to the bathroom now, but just having it build up that for that 8 days was very, very painful.
When I was younger and I was so sick and I had all those issues, I had chronic bowel syndrome. I had irritable bowel syndrome. I had chronic fatigue. I did have fibromyalgia for many years. I had 12 active diseases by the time I was 37. I was in chronic pain. And anytime I had bowel flare-ups, which was constant, my back spasms would increase. When my gut was more relaxed, because it would go in and out throughout the month, I would have days where it was more tolerable than others, and it was days that it was acute. But the severity of my back pain was always in relation to what was going on in my gut, because it would weaken those muscles, and it was harder for the abdominal muscles were too traumatized by what was going on in my gut to help support the back, because the back doesn't support itself. There's all muscles and tendons that help support it, and the abdominal muscles are part of that equation. So, anytime you're having gut issues, absolutely going to impact the pain that's in the back, absolutely. Now, something like if you're having severe nausea, what we would tell people, and this is something that I still use to this day, by the way, red raspberry leaf tea is one of the best ways to calm nausea down. I mean, unless you have the flu or something like that. But if the nausea is being caused as a reaction to medication or something like that, anytime you take a prescription drug, you always have side effects. And a lot of prescription drugs cause constipation or cause dry mouth. They're caused because they're messing with the normal functioning of the body. They're forcing a symptom to change without changing what's causing the symptom. Something like red raspberry leaf tea doesn't mess with the body. It assists the immune system in calming down something by naturally relieving the reason it's there. So that's a very powerful way to alleviate nausea, just so you know, going forward. And then you wouldn't have suffered with the constipation and things like that, which is very, very common with prescription meds.
Well, and in regard to having go ahead, honey.
I quit taking the nausea pills, of course. I'd rather be nauseous than not go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
Patty, have you ever used any of the herbal teas like Smooth Move or any of those kind of teas?
Not really. One time I got something that was to help you sleep. I think it was some kind of chamomile or something like that.
Sleepy Time or something.
I'm not a flavored tea drinker. I don't like the flavored teas. I like just regular, like Earl Grey, a dark black tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never really tried many of them.
Well, they have traditional medicinals, I think, has to be one of my favorite tea brands. They have all kinds. They have Breathe Easy. I use that when I fly on an airplane instead of drinking something cold, because I used to get severe ear infections every time I flew. And ever since now, a doctor, an eyes, ears, nose, and throat specialist once, because my right ear got so blocked I couldn't hear out of it for 4 days after I flew. And he told me not to drink anything cold on a plane ever because of what was wrong with my glands, only to drink hot fluids. So I found this tea called Breathe Easy, and it helps when you have lung infections and stuff. And I'm telling you, it works the charm for me. But that same company, they have a detox tea, they have a nighty-night tea, and it has certain herbs and stuff in it that help relax you and help you fall asleep. So I don't really like the flavor of Breathe Easy. I got to be honest with you. It's got licorice root in it and all. But I don't drink it like I have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. I drink it medicinally. Instead of popping a pill, I'll drink the tea. It's very effective. I've gotten used to the flavor now, so it doesn't bother me anymore. But it is so effective that, you know, I drink one cup of hot tea and I'm good to go. So I was using it more medicinally, not for the flavor, because a lot of the herbs are a little strong for me, but they're extremely effective. And, you know, if you're only going to do it once in a while, I would recommend that you try them because they're pretty effective.
Where did you get it? Where can I find it?
Actually, they sell them. I've seen some of them sold in Publix and Walmart. The biggest selection is at Whole Foods over in West Palm Beach.
Patty would go to Glade.
Well,
Whole Foods
has a larger variety
of
medicinals, but even some of the regular grocery stores sell some of the varieties. But it's a very,
I've
very
seen
good.
Most of them at Publix, Patty. Most of them are at Publix, as well as
the Breathe Easy.
I think it's called Smooth Move. Mm-hmm.
And then they don't sell the Breathe Easy. And there are some other brands out there, but I've tried some of the other ones that are natural and that are for something specific. The traditional medicinals for me works the best and has the nicest flavoring combinations where it's palatable for me to drink it. So on this treatment center that I found, the one that's in West Palm Beach, under drug-free pain treatment, they said what they offer. So medical massage. I didn't actually read the link what they mean by medical massage, but they say medical massage, chiropractic care, laser therapy, acupuncture, vibroacoustics. Now, so that sounds like something where they're vibrating the body with sound waves, and I know sound wave therapy is extremely effective. I'll talk about that in one moment. Psychiatric counseling, because in some cases pain is not, they can't find the pain coming from anywhere in the body, which means it could be psychosomatic. So psychiatric counseling, physical therapy, and nutritional counseling. So this particular organization here, when I'm looking at this particular medical office, I like the combination because they've kind of now addressed just about every different avenue of looking at where the pain is coming from and how to deal with it, and these are all extremely holistic in nature. So I like the combination that this office is talking about, and they're right here in West Palm Beach.
Well, I think that there are, we talked about this briefly yesterday, of course, a few years ago, all of our pain clinics were shut down because they were abusive and they were, you know, they were getting a lot of people in a big mess, and those people, a good majority of them, are still in trouble and are still struggling with the addiction that these pain clinics pretty much reinforced for them. However, I think that there's always room for pain relief, however you can get it at some points in time, because severe pain that doesn't go away takes a toll on you in every aspect of your life. Your ability to maintain any kind of, first of all, copacetic-ness, if that's a word, being able to handle the daily struggles of life if you are chronically and constantly in pain, you have to seek help if that's what's going on with you. And I think the point that Shelley and I are trying to make is sometimes the fix is simpler than we think, such as tremendous back pain having something to do with not being able to have regular bowel movements. I know that sounds funny. There may be some people out there that are laughing and thinking, oh, you've never had back pain like me. Well, I have, and I struggle with those things my whole life. So there is some essence of truth to the fact that you should start simple before you get, you know, you don't wake up one day with severe back pain and go get back surgery unless you've had a terrible car accident, unless something has happened and hurt you with an impact that made a difference in your structure. Then that's different. But if this has been slowly creeping up on you, pain that you can't deal with, something else is going on in your body. So you need to start from the beginning instead of in the middle. Sometimes if you can regain some semblance of body health, structural health, you can actually maybe not alleviate, maybe you will need some other help, but you will certainly help yourself to a better place if you do some of these little simple things. I want to make a point about some little things that I never do, and if you're struggling with back pain, I would suggest that you never do them either. I never walk on uneven ground. I never, you know, like some people take off walking through the lawn. I don't do that. Because mm-hmm. if I step in a hole that I don't see, even if it's only 3 inches deep, it hurts me. It hurts yep. me, and sometimes it hurts me for months afterwards. So be careful where you walk. I also am very, very careful in the ocean. The ocean is incredibly healing. I don't think anybody disputes the fact that our natural ocean water with the salt, with everything that's in it, the buoyancy, the weightlessness, all of that stuff is awesome. However, if you are in pain and you go to the beach and there's waves, stay the hell out of the ocean, because there's uneven sandbars when there's waves. You're going to step in uneven ground and you're going to get knocked down. That's not going to be beneficial for you. You have to use good judgment. If you get into water in the beginning, like Shelley said, cold water right after a trauma is your best way to go, hands down. Now, at the Institute, they have an amazing mineral pool. It has 2,000 pounds of sea salt in it. And it's kept at about 99 degrees, close to 100 degrees. People love it. Even in the heat of the day, it could be 110, and that's the pool everybody wanted to get in, because they think that it's relaxing them, and it is. But I've gotten in it when my back was real bad, and I couldn't climb out. I couldn't go up the steps. I couldn't negotiate getting up the steps. I mean, I eventually did. Obviously, I'm not still sitting in the pool, but it was very, very difficult for me. The cold pool, however, if I get into the cold water and walk around very gently or move my legs around very gently, then when I get out, I seem to be less traumatized. So these things are just little things that you can watch and take care of yourself. And if you go longer than 3 days without going to the bathroom, you must do something. Give yourself an old-fashioned enema if you don't know what else to do. Very, very simple things, and they will put you in a better place. Shall we?
Absolutely.
Will you talk a little bit too about? Well, first of all, I want Patty. How much weight have you lost, honey?
125.
Yeah, I mean there. Shelley, when was the last time you saw Patty? It's been a while, right?
I was going to spit a while because I haven't seen her quite that thin yet. I saw her about maybe midway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the last time I saw you, Patty, you were much thinner, but I haven't seen you this light yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Patty, what size clothes do you wear now?
A 6.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So now let me ask you something else real quick about the weight loss. Say that again, honey.
I probably the last time Shelley saw me, I was probably still in about a 14.
Yeah. She. Do you remember my sister Barbara, Shelley?
Oh yes, of course.
Okay, Patty is her size now.
Wow, that's amazing.
That little.
Mm-hmm. Bigger boobs, but her size. Okay, so what I wanted to ask you, Patty, is what do you think has alleviated your pain more? Try to be, you know, straightforward and honest about it. The weight loss, the ability to move more freely. I mean, I watched you when we went to see Barbara. We did a lot of walking, running around the airport, up and down and here and there and everywhere, and you seem to do very well. Do you think the weight loss has made the biggest difference for you, or do you think it's the application of the equipment that they installed in your back?
I think it's everything I've done, Rainey. I think it's not just that I lost the weight, but the change I made in my eating habits.
Yeah, there you go.
I swear by the spinal cord stimulator, Rainey. I suffered sciatic on both sides, and I've had it for a year and a half now, and I think 3 times I've had problems with the sciatic, and it usually is due to constipation.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the weight loss. I feel that in everything, even things that don't bring me a lot of pain. My feet don't hurt as bad. I mean, just a lot of things because of the weight, though. So I got to say it's a number of things. The fact that I exercise, something I never did in my life, and I eat better, and, you know, the things that I have, the shots that I get and stuff like that, keep it so I can keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you put it that way, Patty, because I think that's one of the things that people fall short on, is that they're looking for that one magic pill or magic surgery, the one thing they can do that's going to fix them. And generally speaking, it isn't one thing. It is a combination of efforts, you know, working a little bit here, cleaning up the diet a little bit, you know, in some cases until it's brought under better control. Sometimes prescription meds are the way just to get the body started, as long as you go into it with the mindset that you're going to, over time, replace it with a more holistic approach and wean off so that you don't get yourself in a place where you've actually increased your pain sensitivity, you know. But trying a lot of different things and different types of therapies all at the same time and not looking for that one magic bullet. And I think that's the best way to heal ourselves across the board anyway, is to look at it as a whole life approach and kind of address many different aspects in our lives to improving a situation, whether it's back pain or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and being open-minded. We talk about this on the show all the time, being open-minded about everything that we are a part of or that affects our lives, including the post that Patty did this morning You know, I mean, that spoke volumes to me because I am guilty of that. The little story I told about going someplace and saying I'd help somebody move their furniture, and the man of the house sits down, and I lift furniture. And I'm like, you know, your back can't possibly hurt more than mine gets hurting, you know. So a lot of, there's a lot of judgmental behavior in things that you can't see, even though you may understand because you suffer from the back pain. We often think ours is worse than anybody else's, and that
we'll
you know that,
that
starts.
And I've seen people like I know you, I know Patty, I know other people that have severe back pain. I know myself and my sister. My sister and I have both injured our back several times, and but like all of us are overachievers. We're gung-ho. We get out there and we do things. Even when we're injured, we just keep pushing forward and keep doing things. There are people, and this is just the flip side to what you're talking about. I agree that you should never judge other people. It's just not appropriate because, like you said, there's so many things that go into play. But unfortunately, there are people out there that sort of milk the system, let's say. They're not really very injured. They're not very sick. And yet they'll go out on disability or they won't work or they'll complain to family members. And unfortunately for people like that, there is more going on than just the pain. For somebody to withdraw from being a productive person and using this as a way of getting attention, I mean, there could be a lot more going on. So still the judgment has to come off the table because that's
exactly.
not normal.
Exactly.
Not want to
participate yeah.
in life. So regardless of whether or not you think they're being lazy or whatever, the bottom line is you should always feel compassion to somebody who's not living life to the fullest because that's not our basic nature. And if you have somebody there that's acting in that way, at very least feel compassion for them. But you should never go to the judgment. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and because you purely and simply don't know. You know, I mean, it's like part of that posting that Patty did. That's one of the things that I always think about because you often hear people say, it's not fair. I feel like I'm trying to walk uphill all the time. And if you look at me, I'm the picture of health. You know,
mm-hmm.
I look robust and healthy. My, you know, I look capable. I try to do this and I try to do that, and I'm not. So, you know, a lot of times that place puts them in a worse place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that causes severe back pain that we haven't even talked about yet is stress. Why? Because you tighten up every muscle in your body when you're stressed. Remember we talked about yesterday about me counseling people and they'd sit down at my desk and I'd say, before we go anywhere or do anything, I want you to sit up straight. I'll put your arms down at your side and push your shoulders down. And they look at me like, what do you want me to do that for, Rainey? I just got done doing exercise with Yvonne in the pool. Well, you should have stayed longer, honey. Push your shoulders down. And, you know, your head isn't going to fall off. You do not need to hold it in place with your shoulders. So stress causes a great deal of pain. And ironically, when you let go of some of that, sometimes in the very beginning, the pain is worse. Do you guys know why that is? Do you know what happens when you finally let go of some of the stress and relax? All of a sudden, you feel more pain here and there and everywhere. Do you know what happens?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure.
What do you think, Patty?
I don't know.
Well, go ahead and speculate. You don't know?
Well, I know that in chiropractic, I don't know if this is where you're going, but I know in chiropractic, if you go in and you're having certain issues and they give you a chiropractic adjustment, sometimes you'll feel more pain initially, even if they've moved your body in the right place, because you're taking pressure off the nerves that were kind of deadening them a little bit, and now you're getting more circulation to the area.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, you might feel more pain until the blood flow is there and gets everything relaxed again.
That's it. You wake it up again.
Okay. Okay.
Say that again, Patty. You broke up all the way across the board.
I guess that's kind of like my injections then. Now I get three different kinds. One's just a little bit in and with medicine. The second one's all the way in with medicine. And then the third one is to burn the nerve itself. But when any of them that I get, it's always like 2 days that I'm in worse pain, but then it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But they say mm-hmm. it's because the medicine needs time to move around and stuff like that. It's good to go get a massage after you do it, which Medicare actually pays for, so I do that.
Well, in your particular case, I'm not sure if that particular pain is the same. It could be the body's reaction to the needle. It could be causing a little bit of spasms until the medication actually goes in and relaxes everything. So I don't know that it's enlivening at all, but I think in your case it might be more due to the body's reaction to the needle going in, because that would cause a spasmodic reaction to it. I don't know if I'm right, but I think that sounds far along the lines of what may be happening there.
I mean, you touch. I don't feel parts of my back because I've had so many nerves burned off. They do grow back, though. Have to have them burn again. But I don't know.
Patty, have you ever had reflexology done?
I don't know.
Have you ever had anybody? Reflexology is a foot rub, a really, really, really methodical foot massage. I have several books here in my office about your hands and your feet. And pain radiates. If you have a wire that's going to an electric light and somehow or another the leg of the couch has rested on the cord that goes to that electric light, eventually where you're pressing on those cords in that light, eventually the light won't work, because it breaks the connectivity. And that's the same idea with what goes on in our bodies. Our bodies are electric, and they are continuous. They branch all over us. And I mentioned this yesterday, I love when we've been to some of these different doctors that I've been to recently with Spike, all these big models and pictures and everything of our whole body. So the radiation from where that cord is being pinched doesn't hurt where it's being pinched. It hurts at the light bulb.
Yeah, that's, no.
Okay.
So sciatic, I thought it was my hips, and then you showed me it was coming from my back.
Exactly.
Right.
Sciatic is the perfect example of that kind of radiated pain. However, on the bottom of your feet and in the palms of your hand, there are places that you can even, in your hands in particular, that you can massage to alleviate some of the pain that you have in the rest of your body. These books are awesome, and I suggest if you are struggling with pain like that, that you find some of these books. I think you can get them. I think they've even got a small selection at Whole Foods in regard to that. But a lot of time chiropractors, and I'm sure Shelley could tell us about Amazon. I'm sure Amazon has got some. But I've been lucky enough to get some from other healers that I've got one that's called Better Health with Foot Reflexology. I've got the Foot Book. I've got all these things, and they are awesome. And, of course, you know me. I love and believe in foot rubs because it alleviates pain. Sometimes it takes away my headache.
Yep.
Having my feet massaged in the right place. Say that again.
Clay rubs my feet and my hands. It really surprised me the first time he actually took my hand and massaged it, how good it made me feel. And it did. It helped all over. It helped relax me. And it took some of the pain.
And I don't
you're talking about like foot massage or hand massage or things like that. When you read these books on reflexology and things like that, you have energy meridians that run throughout the body. So,
right.
like Rainey was explaining, you know, just because you have a pain in one place of your body, that doesn't mean that's where the pain's coming from. When you talk about these sciatic nerves, and you have one on each side of the body, you have one that goes down the left leg and one that goes down the right leg, okay, and it goes through the buttock cheek down to the hip. But if you follow that nerve, it comes around the side of the thigh, across the knee,
mm-hmm.
and to the side
mm-hmm.
of the ankle. So you could have pain in any tract there. You could have pain in your knee. You could have pain on the inside of your ankle. You could have pain in the middle of your thigh or in your hip, and that's all coming from the sciatic nerve. And depending on where the pain is where the nerve is being pinched, and that tells the chiropractor where he has to make the adjustment. Because there's several places along the leg where the pain can end, but it's all coming from that same nerve. So it's very interesting when you realize that all those different areas of pain can be coming from the single source, which is the sciatica. But in addition to like acupressure, when you're doing reflexology on the bottom of the feet, or you're doing hand massages, which is another form of reflexology, but it's on the hands,
right.
you're doing something called acupressure. Now, I have some friends of mine that are also energy healers. This is another thing we haven't discussed, but I'll just touch on it briefly. But energy healing, which is like Reiki, quantum touch, and there's other types of hands-on healing, because everything is about clearing the meridian channels, which are all energy, all right? These practices are used very heavily in like China and Japan, you know, like the Oriental countries where a lot of acupuncture and acupressure actually started and has been working for thousands and thousands of years, all right? But when you do these other types of healing modalities, I've seen miracles. There was a man who had been in a very severe auto accident, and I met him personally. He went to my friends. He had gone through all the medical approach. He was still in a wheelchair. He couldn't speak. His mind was completely active, but his body was broken. And this was years and years later, and he never got any better. And one of his friends asked him to go to this couple that I know. And they did a lot of different things for him. They put him through quantum touch and Reiki energy healing. And by the end of the first session, he was able to stand up out of the wheelchair for the first time since his accident after four treatments, because he couldn't believe the improvement after only one session, so he kept coming back. And over time, he didn't need the wheelchair at all anymore. He was completely out of the wheelchair. He would still limp, but he was able to regain speech. And you have to understand, the medical establishment told this man that he was permanently disabled, he would never get his ability to speak back, and he would never be able to get out of the wheelchair. And even though he speaks a little haltingly and he limps a little bit, he has to use a cane, he is out of the wheelchair and he can communicate verbally. And this is something that he was told would never happen for him. So he continued going for more, but at the end of the fourth treatment, it was amazing. And here, something like a 12-year-old injury healed again. So it's never too late to try these other types of therapies. But there is so much out there that can either be used complementary with medicine, or that can be used as an alternative to medicine and surgery. You know, and each person has to evaluate what they're going through. Like you said, Rini, the surgery was the right thing for you. It's not
Yep.
necessarily the right thing for everybody. But you
Absolutely.
Need to really, really look at all your options.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
don't jump at surgery, but don't avoid it either if that seems to be the only thing that's going to bring you relief. But there's so many things out there that people can look into that are safe, that don't toxify the body. And some of these natural approaches, I'm very happy to see that they're becoming more and more readily available, more easily available. But definitely energy healing is another route to look into.
Well, and let's don't forget to remind everybody that if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's true of the muscles in your body, the activity that you choose for your source of exercise is imperative. If you have a if you have somebody who's in a coma, God forbid, one of the best things you can do for them is to make sure that they are exercised on a daily basis. If you have somebody who is bedridden, it is imperative that they are helped to turn and move and exercise their body. It's the same when you're young. It's the same when you're in your 20s and you hurt yourself and you think you set in that fear that when you move, you hurt. You still have to move because everything, again, we're connected. So if you stop moving everything else because you're afraid that if you move it's going to hurt, then you make the problem much worse. I'm reminded of Joshua, one of my grandchildren. He and Crystal got a virus. This was years ago. And we rushed them both to the emergency room. The school called. They were so sick and burning up. I mean, so temperatures so high that they were red. The kids were red, and they were little. They were in, I think, like first and second grade, something like that. We get them to the hospital, and the doctors are afraid of spinal meningitis, of course, just like what we just went through with the great-grandchild. And they wanted to do a spinal tap. And I was against it. I said, first, let's do blood tests. Let's make sure that that's not what's going on because the spinal tap is painful. Well, they ended up not finding anything in the blood. They had to do a spinal tap, and they chose Joshua. Crystal was younger, and we figured if one of them had it, then they both had it, so they could not, you know, they wouldn't have to do the spinal tap on Crystal. So they did it. It was awful. He screamed bloody murder. His dad, his mom, Uncle Joe, everybody had to hold him down while I sat with Crystal in the other room, and we could hear him screaming, and she's crying. It was a horrible time. Found out it wasn't spinal meningitis, but it was a really, really, really bad virus. Next day, they're in the hospital, Spike and Chrissy and little Spike, and both the kids were all sleeping in the room, and I show up, and Joshy has refused to move. He's rolled up in the fetus position, will not move. His dad tried to move him. His mom tried to move him. A nurse said, you'll feel better if you move. No, I'm not moving. I'm not moving because it hurt so bad when they did the spinal tap that while he was in that position, nothing hurt, so he was afraid to move again. So aww. I had to take his legs, and I said, you know, Grandma would never hurt you. I know, but don't move me, Grandma. I said, just let me move your legs, and I did it ever so slowly and pulled his legs down straight. And this big grin, if you know Joshua, which you both do, this big grin came out and he realized that it didn't hurt. And we stretched his legs and he moved around. And from there on, it was like, you know, downhill, actually. I mean, you know, he was better within hours. So that fear sets in when you have that kind of intense pain in your back. But movement is imperative for the rest of your body. Breathing, 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 that's something we didn't talk about. Shelley and I have sat through many, many lessons about breathing. We've brought in all kinds of breathing specialists at the Institute, and it is imperative that you don't become a lazy breather when you have pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because breathing deep breaths puts oxygen into your bloodstream. The oxygen in your bloodstream makes your blood flow smoother, more quickly, more efficiently. And what happens when you increase the blood flow? You both know the answer to this, I'm sure.
Well, once
you alleviate some of the pain. You open up the constricted areas so that it's not being pinched off.
Right. And when you say deep breathing, that means that you have to get the abdomen to extend. It doesn't mean that you're raising your shoulders and filling the top of lungs. And a lot, again, we don't even breathe correctly, which is sounds silly, but we're not taught in the United States how to breathe properly. In other countries, they do what's called belly breathing, which is the natural way to breathe because then you allow the bottom of the lungs to fill up. But because everybody in the United States is so self-conscious about pushing their bellies out or something like that, which is silly if you think about it, So everybody breathes into their shoulder areas, and that's not the right way. When you take a deep breath, especially when you're in pain or you're trying to calm yourself or you're trying to meditate, you have to breathe and allow your abdomen to expand and then contract. And over time, you actually strengthen the abdominal muscles, which sounds kind of funny. When you allow them to relax and then you tighten them to exhale, you're actually developing your abdominal muscles. So it has the reverse effect of what people would think. It actually gives you a better control over your abdominal area while you're learning to breathe correctly. So it's a very good exercise for a lot of things, alleviating pain. It's also a good form of meditation because when you're concentrating on breathing properly, you are relaxing other areas of the body in addition to the pain itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that I want to mention in regard to that kind of exercise and breathing and things like that, you did touch on this, your stomach muscles are imperative to good back health because, like you said, if you after you carry a baby and when you are about to give birth, where's all the pain, Patty?
Mine was in my back.
Always. It's always
yep.
in your back. You think it's going to be in the front of you where you're, you know, where the baby is sitting and everything, but no, it's in your back. And that's because your belly is pulled forward, your belly is full, and it's pulling on all the muscles and the tendons in your lower back. So most intense labor pains take place right in your back, in your spine. So when... After you have a baby, they teach you to do exercises that tighten your stomach muscles again because good stomach muscles are imperative to good lower back health. Now, this is barring any accidents. Like everything that we say that sounds so simple and so natural, if you've had a terrible car accident, if you've fallen, if you've cracked your tailbone, which happens to people a lot more than I think any of us realize, then it's different. But good muscle control in your stomach. Do you guys remember isometrics?
Yeah.
You know what that is? Okay. Isometrics is the tightening of your muscles, and it's awesome exercise for stomachs. If you can just tighten the muscles in your stomach through, when you're sitting at your computer, when you're driving in the car, that's awesome for tightening your stomach muscles and strengthening your lower back. If your back is swayed or if you have scoliosis like Shelley suffers from or if you have any kind of pinched nerves going on in your spine because it's being pulled forward and it's taken your spine off kilter kind of and caused it to pinch off someplace, all of those things are going to help improve that. Do you guys have anything to add? We're down to 2 minutes. I thank you, Patty, for joining us today and sharing all the stuff that's happened with you. And again, you know, I am incredibly proud of how you pulled yourself out of your bedroom and back into your life. It's really, really, really was an amazing feat. And you did a hell of a job, and you pretty much did it all on your own. So you should be very proud of yourself.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. A lot of people can't do it. A lot of people would still be hidden back there waiting for somebody else to fix them. And you did do that. So that's great. Shel, thanks for all your input. We will do a recap tomorrow, which will probably have a lot more conversation about this because this is a big issue, the back pain and all the little things that we can do to help ourselves. And, Patty, if you've never had a real reflexology, I would suggest looking into that and seeing if you can have one of those done for yourself because that would probably be very beneficial for you. So thanks, girls. It was an awesome show. I really enjoyed it. We had another listener, but they never clicked in to speak. I hope you enjoyed the show. Another dashboard listener, I should say, that's listening live. So thanks a lot. Everybody go out there and have a great day. Today is Big Spike's first day of chemotherapy. So wish us luck. And Hopefully he does it without feeling real sick at the end of the day. I will keep everybody posted tomorrow. God bless everybody. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, ladies. Bye-bye, talk honey. Tomorrow. Bye.
All right, honey. Bye-bye. Everybody else is up until the last seconds are gone because then it wants me to get back into the show.